are listening to Beating Neuropathy and Chronic Pain with Dr. John Hayes, author of the bestseller, Beating Neuropathy, Taking Misery to Miracles in Just 5 Weeks. Here is Dr. John Hayes.
Hi, everybody. Good evening once again. This is Dr. John Hayes, and I would like to welcome everybody, and yourself especially, to tonight's very special show, Beating Neuropathy Radio, of course. We are going to discuss what's called entrapment neuropathies. Now, entrapment neuropathies are actually very common and more common than you might imagine. But before we dive into tonight's topic, I'd like to once again thank you for personally inviting me into your home or your car or even your iPhone, wherever you're listening to us from. And also to remind you that we have a whole host of information that we publish on a regular basis, snippets, of course, and support are contained all day long at facebook.com/beatingneuropathy. We also do our radio shows on Sunday evenings. They are released at 6:30 Eastern. Most weeks they're live. Occasionally they are encored. And then, of course, we have Beating Neuropathy TV, which are short online TV video episodes, which are released every Thursday morning. So once again, it's a pleasure to be with you, and thank you so much for listening in today. But what we're going to do today is to talk a little bit more about entrapment neuropathies. Now, entrapment neuropathies are very common, and the most common of the entrapment neuropathies would be what's called carpal tunnel syndrome. And carpal tunnel syndrome is something that very, very often presents itself to primary care physicians, of course, in the physical medicine practices, which your neuropathy DR clinicians own and operate. Carpal tunnel syndrome is a very common presenting issue. Unfortunately, too often in our society now, treatment is to jump into surgery for these patients before doing conservative care. But what we want to do today is really try to turn the tables a little bit, shed some light on what can cause carpal tunnel syndrome and some of the entrapment neuropathies, and give you some alternatives that you should explore. Now, the good news is that many times when the alternative treatments are employed, patients don't require surgery, or they're able to delay surgery. But very, very often, we find that when patients comply not only with clinic programs, but home care programs through the use of our home care kits after clinic treatment and during, that they oftentimes are able to avoid surgery. And that, of course, is really good news. The other issue, of course, is that treating these in non-drug ways really eliminates a whole host of side effects which could potentially occur. There are a couple of myths about carpal tunnel syndrome. One of the biggest myths is just because you have a positive EMG, which shows compression at the wrist, means you necessarily need surgery. It, again, is a question of degree. Now, if carpal tunnel syndrome was caused by a significant trauma or there's damage such as a fracture or significant compression due to arthritis, it could be that the best treatment for that particular patient is going to be surgery. Again, this is a decision that needs to be made amongst yourself with your clinicians. But too often what we see are patients with chronic presentations, meaning they've been present for 3 to 6 months. They're still having symptoms, but yet rather than doing any conservative treatment that's significant first, the patient's automatically referred for surgery. Now, that would be fine if the surgery was successful, but we do know that 40% or more of the time, the surgeries for carpal tunnel syndrome are unsuccessful because what has happened is the patient actually had more than carpal tunnel syndrome. It turns out that they actually had what's called a double or a multiple crush syndrome, and we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about that. Really what that means is that in the typical carpal tunnel patient, the presentation will be one of tingling, numbness, pins and needles into the hand, and classically this will be referred into the what's called the median distribution of the hand. In other words, if you look down in front of you and hold your hand's palm up, if you were to trace your thumb, your second finger, and your third finger, that would comprise the vast majority of the innervation, if you will, or the nerve distribution of the median nerve. This nerve passes down from nerve roots in the neck, down through the shoulder, into the arm, into the forearm, and then passes through the carpal tunnel, which is a tunnel created between a ligament across the wrist and the tiny bones in the wrist right into your thumb, your forefinger, and your hand. while the carpal tunnel, as you might imagine, is a place where the nerve can be compressed relatively easily. Now, some of the causes of this compression, as we said earlier, in severe cases could be the result of accident or fractures, could be the result of expanding joints and joint spaces from osteoarthritis. But more commonly in our society, they're due to things like diabetes, and they're due to obesity, where weight gain or fluid gain, if you will, of one sort or another may actually cause the median nerve at the wrist to be compressed. And the net result is the patient will present with tingling, numbness, pins and needles that will extend into the forearm. Often, but commonly initially, these symptoms will be present only in the thumb, the forefinger, and the third finger. A couple other things to keep in mind is that carpal tunnel syndrome can occur in many conditions that cause fluid retention or swelling. This is why it's important if you do have global or whole body swelling, it's something that needs to be investigated medically. Those patients that suffer from what's called idiopathic edema, which means swelling of the extremities and we're not sure why, sometimes but not always can benefit from a low sodium diet. Sometimes these patients can benefit from taking supplemental dietary vitamin B6 and so on and so forth. And all these things we'll talk about in a little bit more detail as time goes on. But what I'd like to do next is to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about one of the most common cousins of carpal tunnel syndrome, and that's what we call the double crush. Once again, you're listening to Beating Neuropathy Radio. I'm Dr. John Hayes, and we'll be back shortly.
Are you one of the 20 million Americans suffering the misery of neuropathy? Many people just like you have discovered there is now very effective and affordable treatment for diabetic post-chemotherapy shingles and other type of neuropathy and chronic pain. The unique Neuropathy DR program was developed by Dr. John Hayes and is now being used by many doctors and physical therapists around the USA. There are lots of patient resources for you at neuropathydr.com. But the best news of all, now you can talk directly to Dr. John Hayes by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a neuropathy analysis by phone or in person for yourself or a loved one free of charge. But hurry, you must act today. Don't forget, call right now, 781-659-7989, while neuropathy analysis slots are still open. That's 781-659-7989, 24/7. Are you or someone you love one of the 100 million Americans suffering the misery of chronic pain? Unfortunately, chronic pain patients suffer more than their share of tingling, burning, sleeplessness, and major life disruption. Well, now there is a very effective, affordable clinic and home co-treatment available for many forms of chronic, disabling pain. The unique Neuropathy DR program developed by Dr. John Hayes is now being used by doctors and physical therapists around the USA. You'll find more cancer and pain patient resources at neuropathydr.com. This is really good news. Talk directly to Dr. Hayes' Norwell office by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a chronic pain analysis for yourself or a loved one for free. But hurry, you must act as these slots are limited. Dr. Hayes will personally help you decide if this approach may work for you, too. Call right now, 781-659-7989. That's 781-659-7989, 24/7.
Welcome back to tonight's episode of Beating Neuropathy Radio. And as we said at the top of the hour, what we're doing tonight is to talk a little bit more about carpal tunnel syndrome and its related entrapment neuropathies. You know, one of the things that we started to do in the last segment is to discuss carpal tunnel syndrome. We talked about some of the ways it can occur commonly. But one of the things I mentioned I want to go back to, and that is that patients with carpal tunnel syndrome who undergo surgery find that the surgery is only successful approximately 60% of the time, meaning that 40% of the time the patient has carpal tunnel symptoms that come back again. Well, why is that? Well, the reason is that even though your surgeon might have done a really good job on the surgery and they did what they thought was a really good patient selection criteria, in other words, they carefully evaluated you and believed that the surgery would be helpful, it actually turns out that a significant number of patients that have carpal tunnel syndrome symptoms, meaning they have the appearance and the manifestations of this, the tingling, numbness, and burning, and so on, actually have a condition called double crush or multiple crush syndrome. And simply what this means is that in addition to the median nerve being compressed at the wrist, it has also been compressed at another location. Now, the other locations very commonly are at the nerve roots themselves in the neck, very commonly due to arthritis or disc herniations or sometimes old whiplash injuries and so on. Sometimes they're due to athletic injuries and arthritic episodes, of course. And also, the median nerve can be entrapped as part of the brachial plexus, which is the group of nerves that exits the neck and passes down through the shoulder into the forearm and, of course, into the arm itself. And it's very important to understand that when the median nerve or one of the nerve roots is compressed, it can oftentimes radiate symptoms into the hand. The term double crush simply means that in addition to having irritation or crush, if you will, of the nerve at the carpal tunnel, the patient obviously is having some irritation or perhaps crush of the named nerve or nerve root at the spine or at another location like we just mentioned. So it's very, very important to sort this out. Well, how do you do this? Sometimes the EMG and nerve conduction studies can be very helpful, meaning if you are referred to a neurologist or you come to one of our clinics and the clinician performs these electric tests where they insert pins or use electrodes on your skin to check the innervation, if you will, of the muscles, or if they do nerve conduction, which is simply measuring how fast it takes a current to traverse over a certain distance. When this conduction is slowed along the course of a nerve, or there's evidence of irritation of a nerve root, that can really tell us a whole lot. But oftentimes what happens in the carpal tunnel patient is that the EMG is equivocal, meaning it doesn't give us really certain results. It's suggestive of possible carpal tunnel symptoms, and then maybe some involvement of the cervical spine. So basically what this means is that you've got two choices. Number one is you could certainly submit to surgery and not do anything else. But what we suggest very often, again, this is not an absolute, it's between you and your clinicians, but what we found to be very, very helpful for patients who have this presentation is to undergo a trial of neuropathy DR treatment in the clinic for at least 5 weeks before submitting to surgery. The reason for this is that if you do have the double crush syndrome, meaning irritation of the median nerve or perhaps irritation of the median nerve root at the neck, if this is treated with the modalities that we commonly use, which could include manipulation, laser therapy, neurostimulation, mobilization, massage, maybe even traction, all these things are particularly beneficial. If a patient with a double crush syndrome undergoes a course of treatment and the symptoms are improved or eliminated, then this means that you may not need surgery or you may be able to delay surgery for years. And this is really, really good news. Now, of course, as we said at the top of the hour, there are some exceptions where there's been trauma, there has been fracture, and so on and so forth, and surgery is going to be the best result or the best thing you could do for a best result. But our discussion tonight really centers around the fact that the double crush syndrome can manifest itself as carpal tunnel syndrome. Too often patients have surgery without having conservative care first, and the net result is they end up unhappy. And quite frankly, the surgeons are unhappy too, because the surgeons, of course, like all doctors, want to do everything they can to make sure that their patient gets better. So that, in a nutshell, if you will, is carpal tunnel syndrome. Now, if you'd like to learn more about carpal tunnel syndrome, you can simply ask us a question on the patient's forum. And the patient's forum, of course, is online, and that's at facebook.com/BD neuropathy. You can also learn a whole lot more about the various kinds of peripheral neuropathy and the treatments that are available for it by registering your information with us at neuropathydr.com. Well, one of the things I also wanted to talk about tonight are some of the other entrapment syndromes or entrapment-like syndromes and what the treatment for some of these may be. Another very, very common form of entrapment is what's called tarsal tunnel entrapment. And tarsal tunnel entrapment is similar to carpal tunnel, except, as you may guess from the name, actually occurs at the foot. In tarsal tunnel syndrome, what happens is that the patient has nerve entrapment at the foot, which can manifest as tingling, numbness, burning into the foot, and so on. The other consideration, of course, much like carpal tunnel syndrome, is that when a patient presents with tarsal tunnel-like symptoms, they need to be evaluated for nerve root compression at the low back or lumbar spine, and then they also have to be evaluated for possible named nerve, in this case meaning sciatic nerve or peroneal nerve compression at the hip, thigh, and then the peroneal nerve behind the knee. Again, all of these are consideration because all of these things can actually cause tingling, numbness, and pain into the foot. So just because the patient has tarsal tunnel syndrome does not mean that they couldn't or don't have compression of a nerve root or a named nerve at another location. Again, this is very, very important because before you ever undergo surgery for something like tarsal tunnel syndrome or undergo a decompression of that nerve surgically, you want to make sure that you've had a thorough investigation and that everything conservative for you has been done. So just like a patient with carpal tunnel syndrome who has, in fact, double crush or irritation of the nerve root at the neck or the named nerve in another location, the tarsal tunnel syndrome patient should be treated the same way, meaning that there are applications of neurostimulation, laser, manual therapy, perhaps traction, other physical therapy modalities, exercise, and so on that can go a long way towards alleviating the patient's condition. And hopefully we have communicated how serious this is to you, because there is nothing worse than undergoing a procedure that has risks, such as surgery and anesthesia, unnecessarily. So the point is, be cautious, but also ask questions. You know, any good surgeon, any good physician is going to take questions from you. It's perfectly acceptable for you as the patient to bring this up. Actually, it's your body, so you should be bringing it up. And quite honestly, if you're ever unhappy, don't be afraid to get another opinion. There are lots of clinicians out there, lots of wonderful clinicians out there, and sometimes the best thing that you can do to actually make yourself get better faster is to have complete confidence in what's going on, complete confidence in the recommendations, and this is where getting second opinions from your clinicians can really go a long way. Well, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up tonight's discussion of carpal tunnel syndrome and entrapment neuropathies. Once again, you're listening to Beta Neuropathy Radio, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Are you or someone you love one of the 100 million Americans suffering the misery of chronic pain? Unfortunately, chronic pain patients suffer more than their share of tingling, burning, sleeplessness, and major life disruption. Well, now there is a very effective, affordable clinic and home co-treatment available for many forms of chronic, disabling pain. The unique neuropathy DR program developed by Dr. John Hayes is now being used by doctors and physical therapists around the USA. You'll find more cancer and pain patient resources at neuropathydr.com. This is really good news. Talk directly to Dr. Hayes' Norwell office by calling 781-659-7989 24/7 and schedule a chronic pain analysis for yourself or a loved one for free. But hurry, you must act as these slots are limited. Dr. Hayes will personally help you decide if this approach may work for you, too. Call right now, 781-659-7989. That's 781-659-7989, 24/7.
Welcome back to tonight's episode of Beta Neuropathy Radio. And as you probably guessed, we are discussing still entrapment neuropathies. You know, at the top of the hour, we started talking about carpal tunnel syndrome and then went on to discuss double crush. We finished the last segment by talking about carpal tunnels relative in the foot or tarsal tunnel syndrome. And I'd like to spend a few minutes just talking about another very common entrapment neuropathy, and that's what's called cubital tunnel. Cubital tunnel entrapment actually occurs at the elbow. The cubital tunnel is the area in which the ulnar nerve, which is the nerve that supplies the major innervation for the hand, passes down from the arm after originating in the nerve roots in the neck behind the elbow, or what's commonly referred to your funny bone, and down into the hand. Now, the difference between cubital tunnel syndrome and carpal tunnel syndrome is that with carpal tunnel syndrome, the pain, tingling, numbness, and so on is present on the thumb and forefinger side of the hand. And in cubital tunnel syndrome, these symptoms are actually present in the little finger and then half or all of the fourth finger, and sometimes possibly a half or a segment of the third finger as well. Again, there are some variations in the normal distribution of these nerves, so that's why there can be a variation in how these patients present. But cubital tunnel syndrome is very, very common in people that do repetitive usage of the arms, and this would include, in my experience, people that are electricians and people that are auto mechanics or otherwise do continued or repetitive twisting motions with the arms and forearms. You know, we've seen it, of course, in other people in the trades, and actually it can occur in my occupation as a chiropractic physician. Those who do manual therapy are subject to repeated nerve trauma of both the wrist and the elbow, so we're not immune either. But the bottom line is that cubital tunnel syndrome can be particularly dangerous because the ulnar nerve, as we said earlier, does innervate a very, very significant portion of the hand. And when the ulnar nerve is compressed significantly, it really can create a whole lot of problems, not only pain, but numbness, tingling, burning. It can disturb sleep and be very, very bothersome. So cubital tunnel, like we said, being another entrapment neuropathy, is also, like the other entrapments we mentioned, could be contributed to or caused from a double crush, meaning there could be irritation at the neck and shoulder, as well as the nerve at the elbow itself. And sometimes the ulnar nerve can be entrapped at the handle. This is certainly not nearly as common as median nerve entrapment in carpal tunnel. So in any event, when somebody suffers from cubital tunnel syndrome, and again, sorry about that, but let's just be clear, cubital tunnel syndrome is entrapment of the ulnar nerve at the elbow, and this is where the presentation would be tingling, numbness in the little finger side of the hand. When somebody suffers from cubital tunnel syndrome, there are some treatments that can be very effective short of surgery. And the reason this is particularly important is that the surgery for cubital tunnel syndrome is much, much more advanced than it is for carpal tunnel syndrome. Unfortunately, patients who suffer from cubital tunnel syndrome, sometimes the only surgical treatment for it is to actually dissect out and move the ulnar nerve from behind the elbow to in front of the elbow. And having seen patients had this surgery and having witnessed this surgery myself, I will tell you that it's not something you want to have done unless you absolutely have to. So treatments in the clinic would include, first of all, minimizing any potential sources of irritation of the elbow that are avoidable, such as occupations where there may be repetitive motions that could be minimized or eliminated. If there is an occupational situation where there is some continued banging, if you will, a concussion against the nerve, simply using some protective gear can make a big difference there. But also, treatments in the clinic consisting of light stretching, mobilization of the elbow, ultrasound therapy can be very, very good, but also some of the more current therapies that we're using now are laser therapy can be very, very good for this type of syndrome, as well as the use of neurostimulation at home. Now, one of the key advantages of using our home care kit or neurostimulation for these entrapment neuropathies is it really can help not only soothe the symptoms, but can help patients minimize or eliminate the need for medication. And one of the most important things, they can help you get through the night better and during your days without medication. So again, very, very important to understand. Also, there's some good evidence that properly applied neurostimulation with the use of these portable neurostimulators such as we advocate can help many patients with pain syndromes, but also, when properly applied, may in fact actually be speeding a healing response. And this, of course, is really good news. So, again, we've spent some time tonight talking about the more common entrapment neuropathies. We've spoken about two that occur at the hand. We've spoken of one that occurs at the foot. There's another type of entrapment neuropathy that we should talk about because it's fairly common. And this particular type of entrapment neuropathy can cause sciatica, meaning pain or tingling or numbness, which classically extends from the butt down behind the thigh into the calf, the foot, and the leg. And this particular entrapment neuropathy is called the piriformis syndrome. That's P-I-R-I-F-O-R-M-I-S. The piriformis muscle is a muscle of the hip, and the sciatic nerve passes either in front of, behind, or in some cases through this muscle at the hip. Depending upon the anatomy, meaning depending upon where the nerve actually goes in your particular case, this might predispose you towards having sciatica, if you will, or pain, tingling, numbness, burning down the leg in the foot. And the reason I mention this is that what else can cause this condition? Well, virtually every adult knows that a pinched nerve in the lower back or disc herniation can cause the same symptoms. And this is why your clinician must be very, very diligent and very, very careful when they do their physical examination to find out, is this a low back condition or is it a hip condition or is it in fact both? So I hope you've learned a lot from tonight's presentation. I think the biggest takeaway here is that you don't necessarily take the first opinion or the first word from your clinician on a diagnosis of carpal tunnel syndrome, in particular because it's the most common, without actually digging a little bit deeper. Again, the biggest takeaway from tonight is just because you have symptoms of carpal tunnel syndrome doesn't mean that's all you have. Another big takeaway is just because you have symptoms does not mean you necessarily need surgery. We always, wherever a medical emergency is not present, recommend that our patients undergo conservative care and undergo home care, including the application of a neurostimulator, sometimes dietary supplements, other things you can do like massage therapy and so on. Once again, have a great rest of your day.